Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. I've been out for a couple of weeks, and it's a pleasure to be back with you. I've been watching, I'm sure everybody else has, all of the information that's been surprising people over the Affordable Care Act. And I read I got an email. I'm not sure if it's the government who stated this, but it was actually kind of funny from an insider standpoint, from a doctor standpoint, because they were saying that the Affordable Care Act is costing more people more money. They didn't realize that they were going to put independent doctors out of business, and it was going to become more hospital-driven, and independent free market choices were being, the movement of doctors were putting people in a position where they were paying more for health care than less. And I'm not just talking about out-of-pocket costs with co-insurances and premiums. That's a whole other ballgame. We're talking about the actual cost of health care itself. They act like they're surprised that it costs people more for the delivery of services. But when you know and you understand how the hospital side has been set up, you really wouldn't be surprised by the fact that it's costing people 3, 4, 5, sometimes 10 times more to get the same service in a hospital setting as they would pay if they were going to a doctor in private practice. And their thing was, even though the doc fix, the law of value-based medical services was supposed to decrease the cost, that it really wasn't happening because the doctors who could provide reasonable care were no longer doing it. They were no longer in practice. And they admitted basically that the hospital is gouging people. But there's nothing being done to stop that. And I think people need to really understand that side of it. So our discussion today is going to talk about really apples and oranges here. The hospital is making out like a bandit. They have become a huge business run by the administrators. We've talked in the past about pieces of how they control doctors, sham peer reviews, medical executive committees, administrators setting the algorithms which are the treatment, hospital treatment is based on. For example, when you get admitted, there's a battery of tests that are ordered automatically just as soon as you walk in the door. And they include giving you an antibiotic in case you have a resistant staph infection, if you're diabetic, putting you on insulin immediately, whether you're on it or not, you know, you're on a, what we call a sliding scale, performing vaccines for pneumonia and all sorts of things without even telling you what they're doing. This is just a standard protocol. So all of this testing, this pre-testing, this algorithm of treatments, this cafeteria services, which they automatically sign you up for, is actually costing you more money, whether you need it or not. And this is something that's written into the letter of their electronic medical records. If you admit somebody, it's pre-populated for you. You just have to check it off. And if you don't answer the questions, as I've mentioned before, you can't close the medical chart. If you don't make the right battery of tests ordered, you're going to get nailed by case management. The nurses who used to perform patient care, the registered nurses, are now case managers for the most part. So you've taken, you've moved from people who know patient care, the registered nurses, the physicians, and you've moved it to the cheapest iteration of healthcare. You've got nursing techs, you've got physician assistants, you've got house officers or doctors who basically don't have private practice anymore, only work for the hospital, who are out there on the front line. And their job is to toe the line. They don't have the ability or the mindset to think outside the box. They're overworked, for example. I definitely have to have one of the house physicians on, the hospitalists on, to talk about what their experience is like. But they're covering 50, 60, 70 patients overnight that they don't know. They're turned over to them after the physicians working in the daytime leave their shift, and they're covering, you know, dozens of patients per ward just getting it done, admitting people, if you have a question or a consult, they don't know why they even called it. It's just a disaster. And you wonder what's going on in the hospital setting that's never coming to light, because there's all these layers, all these protections that are in place to keep that, keep it in the dark. And what they're doing is they're basing this on paperwork. For example, another example, which is kind of frightening, patients are given questionnaires to fill out. And the when they tell you that the hospital is great and they're winning awards and all these sorts of things, they're based on these questionnaires that they give the patients. 30% of the hospital fee or their payment is based on the response to these questions. So that's not patient care. That's somebody having a, you know, having, we call it, quote unquote, a good experience with the hospital, but it's just marketing, you know. It's just, that's not healthcare anymore. And you have the administrators running the show. I think, again, another insider point, it's hard to segue on this, but people need to see how big and huge this is. The admission policy. Who gets admitted as an inpatient? It's a huge thing. You have to, I took a course to understand how to admit somebody, whether they should be an inpatient, outpatient, observation, especially on the Medicare side, because that's how the hospital gets paid. And if you make a mistake, you can cost that patient thousands of dollars, because whatever you write as a prescription medication is on the patient to pay if you admit them as an observation or an ambulatory patient as opposed to an inpatient. So all of these things are designed to push the payment onto the patient, to allow the hospital to basically work within a rigid algorithm setup, and if there's no individualized care, if you fall between the cracks, if you have a medical problem that means that you need to be in there longer than 72 hours, 48 hours. You have 48 hours to make a designation of if the patient should stay as an inpatient or be discharged. There's a huge pressure now to treat you and street you, get you in, don't even make a diagnosis anymore, actually. They get you in, they may stabilize you, and you're out the door for 48 hours. And I've spoken to patients who've had huge medical issues, transient ischemic attacks, which is like it's a mini stroke, but it resolves itself. Instead of the person being kept in for a proper workup, they're discharged with a follow-up as an outpatient. Now, 10 years ago, that patient would have a consult from cardiovascular service. Whatever they needed done would be worked up in the hospital, patient be medically cleared, and whatever they needed to get done would get done. That is not happening. You get the most money from the patient you can up front. You discharge them. If they have a really horrible medical condition, you take them or send them, if you can, if you're able to a hospital system. So you get the money, you put them in your... I mean, this is just so sick, Dave. You might have someone come into the emergency room. You treat them, but you don't have the services available to actually finish the treatment. You transfer them to another hospital system that's larger, but you get to charge them for the ER visit and for whatever you've done, even though you didn't really treat them. You just stabilized them, maybe, or you just sent them on in an ambulance in some cases. This is a system that's costing people hundreds of thousands of dollars across the country, collectively. And the standard of care has dropped, and now it's all based on what it looks like on paper. And these might be, quote-unquote, the best hospitals in the country, but they're not doing anything. Their job now is to save, it's cost measurements, it's cost control. You are definitely a cost center, and if your disease is going to cost them money by keeping you in the hospital long for a period of time, they're not going to do it. And we talked before the break, or before we started the show, about your experience. And it's not unusual where you walk into a doctor's office who's on the payroll for the hospital. Even they look like you're a private doctor, they're actually part of the healthcare system. Their charges are no longer their own. They're sticking people with administrative fees. You're paying for hospital charges because the hospital owns their equipment, and they're leasing it to them. And the cost is being shifted to you. and you get this huge bill at the end of the day, and it's a big surprise. So it's a very complex, almost like it's a grid that you're entering, and you can't play a game if you don't even know what the rules are. And you really need to be savvy at this point. And the first thing you need to figure out is, I think the most important question you can ask yourself is your doctor really independent, or are they on staff or taking on the payroll of a hospital, or has their practice been purchased by a hospital? If you don't know the answer to that question, you are most likely going to be on the hook for charges that you had no idea were going to come down the pipe. So is that what happened to you, Dave? They tell you what the costs were going to be?
No, this was, in fact, it's going to be interesting because when I went into the doctor's office, it was a preliminary visit to doing a stress test, nuclear stress test, and echocardiogram. And, so I go into his office and I see the doctor actually for probably a good minute and a half. I see the nurse for probably 5 or 10 minutes, and in her taking my vitals and then says she's going to do an EKG, which I said, I thought EKGs were passé, y'all weren't using them anymore. Oh, no, we like it as a preliminary thing, so okay, fine. I've had in my age, I've had a bunch of them, and when they used to use them for physicals, and never paid a dime for one, so I get... from Blue Cross Blue Shield, I get a statement, not a bit. Well, no, I'm sorry. I get it from Emory Healthcare, a statement that they're charging me, and it's not the cost that got me, but that they're charging me for $150 for an EKG, which I wasn't sure I needed to begin with. So I call Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they say, we don't know. We'll check into it. They get back to me, and they said, well, it was you had it done in the hospital, and that's why they charged you for it. I said, no, I had it done in the doctor's office, and they're charging me for it. So I had a really nice girl at Blue Cross, and she said, well, I'll do some more checking. So come to find out, the reason that they were going to charge me for it was that the doctor didn't own the EKG machine. The hospital did, and I was paying rent on it for the privilege of having an EKG that, like I said, I probably didn't need to begin with. And the reply from accounting with Emory Healthcare was, well, he signed for it. And this is a whole other topic that I think you and I are going to talk about. Right now we need to take a break right quick and come back.
And listen to Medicine on Call.
For many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you probably notice that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage, and we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think what we're talking about is informed consent. You know, that's a huge word. It's a mouthful. But it's so important to protecting your rights as a patient. I can't do a surgery without informing the patient of all of the complications and risks that have ever occurred in the operation that I want to perform. Not what is recent or what I've seen in my personal experience, but the history of the operation. The same thing goes for a test. It's informed consent to tell somebody, hey, this is how much it's going to cost. That should be part of it, really. How much this procedure is going to cost? Who is involved in delivering the service? What other ancillary medical personnel or supplies are going to be needed for the service so you can make an informed choice? For example, you know, people have gotten surgery and they've gone to a hospital where, hey, that's in network, but the anesthesia group is not in network, or the pathology group is going to look at the biopsy that they're doing is not in network, and we're ending up getting huge bills from the anesthesia service and pathology service that you had no idea were coming down the pipe. And if you had known, maybe you would have chosen a different hospital to do it at, or a different circumstances. But this is what informed consent also means, financial informed consent. And you're not likely to get satisfaction in the hospital system. They are so opaque. They thrive with the area of unknown. They get to speak, you know, they get you to your worst, you're sick, you just do whatever you want, just get me better. And they take advantage of that across the country. And it's not by accident. This is a movement that is designed to gouge the patient, to conscript the doctors and the nurses, and to have people on the front line who may not be as sophisticated in terms of complex medical care, who are new graduates, just happy to get their first job without experience. This is a system that's broken on so many levels. Forget about the financial aspect for a second. Let's talk about the clinical aspect. When I graduated from my residency program, I had done over 1,000 cases before I graduated. This is not very long ago, not that old. And when I went into private practice, I felt confident that I can go into an operating room and do a case without training wheels, without having a colleague come in and help me. That is gone. Surgeons are coming out of residency programs now where they don't have enough experience, where they join practices and they actually need their colleagues to come in and walk them through a case or help them in a case because they don't feel confident. This is the depth of how the healthcare or the medical training system has changed. There's no experience anymore. There's no hands-on anymore. This goes back to medical school, where I've heard of doctors or medical students not doing anatomy dissections. It's virtual. You're watching this on a screen. You're not actually doing cadaveric dissection. If you don't put your hands in something, on something, have a patient that you actually have to touch and actually care for, you can't be expected to do a good job of that when you're literally on the outside, you know, in the trenches performing your job. And when you don't feel confident and you need your PDA or your electronic virtual assistant to help you diagnose somebody, we're in trouble. It's an art which is being completely destroyed in the system, where if it's not electronic and their mindset. This is, I talked to somebody else about this, but this is just so crazy. When I was in medical school, we had to study for part one of our board exams to be to get licensed to become a physician. That was a month of studying. Literally, class ended. We spent 9 to 5, basically every day, like going to work, studying. These kids now are in a position where they don't get taught. They get taught things that are politically correct, you know, social engineering type of stuff, as opposed to medical things. So when they have to sit to take the part one of the board, they're cramming so hard. They don't have no frame of reference of what they're supposed to know, that it's really hard for them to even take this test. You know, it's hard enough when you knew the baseline, you were reviewing it, as opposed to learning it for the first time. Imagine that, learning it for the first time, having a month to understand it, incorporate it, and actually pass a test. This is crazy. And this is a foundation level of medical training. So if you don't understand physiology, if you don't understand anatomy, if you don't understand the basics of how you make a diagnosis, how you interact with patients, you don't have a fundamental knowledge base, and you expect to get it all from electronic records or electronic PDAs and going online, then you're not really a doctor. You're a technician. And when people are technicians, they follow protocol. And that protocol is no longer set by them. It's set by on high, the executive medical committee, the specialty boards, the insurance companies, the government. This is who's taking the lead on patient care. And it's now a business. Medicine was not a business before. It was a calling, an art form, a choice that doctors made to go into because they wanted to help somebody. Now it's about bottom line, making a profit, making sure you get them in and get them out, making sure you've got all of the I's and O's of the government mandates on what is perceived to be, quote, quality health care, value-based services. That's so, what does that even mean? It doesn't mean anything. It means that you're treating people to a test, just like they're doing in Common Core. It's no thought behind it. They have a symptom, so it fits into this grid, and these are the choices I have to make. And if it doesn't work, oh well. You know, that's what we're dealing with, Dave. And they're costing you all along the line at this point. You're paying premiums out of control. You're paying out-of-pocket costs out of control. And then when you finally enter the system, they're denying you care. But based on, if nothing else, based on the fact that maybe this treatment protocol is not the best for you or your family member, that's denying you care, in my opinion. And if you don't respond to their treatment regimen, then you're hospice down the road waiting for you. It's a joke.
You know, you've said this many, many times, that we all have to take the responsibility ourselves, which is, you know, in many ways easier said than done. I would even venture to say some doctors would have a hard time getting through the forms that their own offices hand out to people as they come in. And, you know, it's almost to the point that you have to have a medical attorney read the forms before you go and have your tonsils looked at or your finger looked at, or you know, and the responsibilities that they put in the fine print. I don't know who can read that kind of stuff. And how do you take responsibility? How does a patient take responsibility for themselves when they're handed stuff that is so far out? It doesn't matter what kind of education you have. If you're not trained as an attorney, or and again, I'd venture to say some attorneys couldn't get through it. What do you do?
You know, I'm gonna give you a shortcut. Ask questions. The first question you should ask is, how much is this going to cost? You don't need to have a degree to ask that question.
You know, the you brought up a very funny question or a very funny answer, in that to get the stress test and the echocardiogram done and all that stuff. That was the first thing I did. How much is it going to cost? You can't get an answer.
That's when you leave. You walk at that point. If you can't tell you, if they can't tell you the value of the service, then you're in the wrong place. That's like walking into a restaurant, having them serve you a meal, and then say, oh, by the way, here's the cost. That's ridiculous. You would never do that. So why are you doing that in the healthcare system? That means they can make it up as they go along. That, to me, is a way to ingrain, I'm not going to say fraud necessarily, but they're going to take what they can get from you, and you need to like it. That's ridiculous. You have to know what the cost of a service is. If someone walks into my office, I tell them before I do anything what the cost is to see me, what the allowed amount is for whatever procedure that I'm doing. We actually have to call. Sometimes we can go online to the insurance company, put in the code we want to do, get the price. Or we have a list in our office that we've created over the course of time of how much something costs for whatever it is I want to do. That's what we do. And if we have to send them for a CT scan or any kind of outside test, we call up the location and ask them, on behalf of our patient, how much it's going to cost. So I will say routinely, I want you to know what this is. I don't do things and then stick people with the bill. That's my mantra when I see my patients. And they appreciate that. Either they'll say, thank you for telling me, yes, go ahead. Or I don't have enough money right now, I want to wait on that. That's fair. And if the hospitals and the doctors who are affiliated with them cannot do that, you vote with your feet. Move on and find a doctor. They have websites. Physician offices now, private doctors, have websites where they list their charges online. So even before you go, you can know what you're going to cost. So that's where people, you don't have to be too savvy. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to feel intimidated. But it's your right to know what something costs. And do you really need the service? If they can't explain to you why you need the scan, and if there's an alternative to that, then you should not be in their office, because all they're doing is following a script, a protocol. They don't need to think about why they're ordering it. It's just because you have a stuffy nose. So you need a CT scan because I have to rule out. That's not a reason to order a CT scan. If they don't culture you before they put you on an antibiotic, you should ask questions. But this is an informed consumer. I don't believe that people have the excuse anymore of being a victim of the healthcare system without them have been a partner in their healthcare. You have to change your mindset on why you're in there and what you expect to get from the system. You know, I want my patients to do research on me, on my office, on anything that, as an ear, nose, and throat, all the services that I potentially could offer. They need to be an informed consumer when they walk in. It makes for an awesome doctor visit, because we can converse as equals, as partners in care. That's how it should be. And I can tell you the cost of healthcare by definition would drop if patients had more knowledge and wanted to have more knowledge about what was going on before they left that office. Do I need this extra medication? Do you have to increase the dose? Can I find a natural way to treat this instead of a prescription drug? Those are questions that you need to ask. It's on you to ask. You know, I don't really too much have sympathy on anybody now in this day of age who's just doing what they're told. They're not better. It's bankrupting them, but they're still going to keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. That's on the patient at this point. Knowing what they know, especially anybody listening to this show, I would hope anybody who listens to this show is savvy enough, has enough empowerment to tell people what they're not going to do, set their boundaries on their physician, on the hospital, and know what they need to do and what their rights are. Those are patients who are not being gouged, who hopefully aren't even entering the system because they're doing everything they should on the outside of the system to stay healthy. Don't get sick. That's how you really win this game, Dave, is don't fall into the trap of eating crap that's going to make you sick, mess up your heart, raise your cholesterol, kill your kidneys, and make you overweight, and put you in a position where you end up needing to be in this system. The system is designed to suck money from your pocketbook,
give you as
little care as they possibly can, and then all well at the end. on that note, let's take a break. Okay. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use the state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, again, if we can open the mic to our conversations off air, it would be awesome. But before or during the break, we were talking about the frustration that Dave and I'm sure everybody feels about the fact that their doctors don't seem to have their back in this situation. And again, I've talked about it before, but I want to again emphasize, they've selected out the doctors. They've removed the doctors who are old school and believe in patient advocacy, who believe in the doctor-patient relationship. And I'm not saying the doctors there now don't want to. They're under pressure from the medical executive boards, from the administrators, to toe the line. Otherwise, they will be shooed out or shoehorned out via sham peer review. And if you're a victim of that, you may never work again as a doctor in this country, because it'll follow you everywhere you go for any kind of position that you want to get in a hospital. You know, we have the national provider number, NPI number. They have databases. And every time you do an application for a hospital or even re-up your application to refresh your credentials, you get asked the same questions. And, you know, have you ever been sued is only part of it. You know, they know exactly if you've been a disruptive physician, and you won't get that position. So doctors are now in a position where they're salaried. They are dependent on the tender mercies of the hospital. And in order to keep their credentials, they have to follow the line. And they're valued as well. So they get scored on how well they keep the hospital running. Do they code properly? Are they getting their patients out in a timely manner? Are they good, quote, good doctors? And that means that they get that patient in, they get them out in 48 hours, they don't have complications, they follow the standardized protocol for the medications that are recommended by the hospital for whatever disease the person's coming in with, and that's how they're scored. There's no outliers where you get to be an advocate for your patient. The advocacy for the patient stops at the door of the fiduciary responsibility to the hospital. Let's be crystal clear on that. You don't have a fiduciary responsibility to the patient. It's to the hospital. you are employee of the hospital. You follow the protocol of the hospital, and that's what you do. That's why doctors are so unhappy. And that's why one of the reasons why the suicide rate is gone climbing up every year. 400 doctors are committing suicide every year in this country. I mean, it's unheard of. And it's because they're unhappy. Because the reason that the kernel of the reason why people do go into medicine has been stripped in this system. I think if you ask 9 out of 10 doctors, hopefully 10, they'll say that they went to medical school because they wanted to help somebody. That's gone. You're not helping people in this system. You're managing them. You are controlling their choices. Your choices to help them are controlled. And someone is putting a value on you as well as the patient. And the underlying or the underwhelming thing, or I should say the linchpin or the foundation of this, is that they don't respect either of us. We're a problem for them. They don't like us. They don't like doctors. They don't like patients. They like money. And if we're standing in the way by delivering excellent care or spending an hour with the patient because we want to listen to their history and actually support them, we're going to be gone faster than you can blink an eye. And they've done a bang-up job of training doctors to not be that way, to be cost control driven, so that if someone is really sick or someone is senior, the mindset now coming out of school is, well, they lived a good life. They're just taking up resources. We should just make them comfortable. Or their disease is never going to be cured, so why bother? That's the mentality that's coming online. This is being taught. It's a cultural change in the healthcare system. Just like it is with the education system.
Common Core?
People don't, Common Core. Common crap, yes. That's the same thing there. This is Common Core medicine. Common Core financial services. It's all about the good of the many. It's all about what little you can do to get as much money as you can for the bang for your buck. But individual, personalized, going outside, going the extra mile, that's not valued in the system. It's the lowest common denominator. And anybody who thinks that single payer is going to make it any better, I've got news for you. It's only going to be worse because you're going to have the government underpinning everything. And they're all about money at the bottom line. And if some Medicare is costing too much, they're going to find ways to cut it. And it will definitely be on the backs of the doctors and patients. It's been on us up to this point, and it will continue to be on our backs. And the doc fix, the HR 2 that got passed for value-based medicine is the end of individualized patient care. And if they have their way, it'll be the end of private practice as well, because they want everybody in this grid. You get control from cradle to grave. You get vaccinated from the time you can start breathing. You get hospice care when you have an end of life, or I should say, they call it an end of life diagnosis, where you're not going to be helped, it's just going to be managed. And the system is just, it's mercenary. I don't think any socialized medicine, someone who's really honest about socialized medicine, is not going to say how wonderful the UK system is, or in Sweden or Canada. First of all, a lot of people who have money come here for their medical care because they can get timely, or at least they did, I don't know about now, timely health care, state-of-the-art services, and more value for their money, as opposed to being managed with medicine until you can too sick to actually get the service because you've been managed forever. You know, I have family members in the socialized medical system. I talked about my dad being part of that, and they put all the seniors at the end of the hall, the farthest they could possibly put them from the nurse's station. And had I not taken him out and had a private doctor operate on him, he would have been dead years before he died. Because of neglect, because he was a senior, because why bother? He's too old. That's their mentality, and they don't play any bones about it. There's no conscience here about, oh, poor seniors. They don't care. They're going for the seniors, they're coming for the neonates, and they're coming for the people who can no longer pay taxes because they're too old or they're about to retire. This is what they're doing. If you're not able-bodied, if you can't work, if you're not going to add to the pot, then you're going to be sidelined in some way. That's how it works.
At what point do you think somebody will take this on and say, this is criminal, and we should, if we can't get them on literally criminal charges, let's sue the pants off of them?
This is going to be a long time away because you have to follow the money. The system is built on money, on lobby money, on patient-driven money, you know, what the government takes from the patient to pay for this system. This is a huge beast. It's ingrained and it's taken over a sixth of the economy. You know how much money is involved with the healthcare system? These hospitals saw the writing on the wall when the Affordable Care Act passed. They've spent years now, 8 years, in setting up a system where they're too big to fail. There's no other competition in town, and they run the market. And they're still crying poor, and they're the only ones in the market. I mean, how many major city centers have maybe one or two hospital systems left? They've purchased all the private practices they can purchase. They've bought out the labs. The specialty groups are part of the hospital here in Atlanta. You know, whole cardiology groups have moved to one hospital, so they become specialty centers. You have a spine hospital. You have, you know, obviously you have a children's hospital. You have all sorts of things where they super specialize, so they can be the only one in the market. You have to go to them. They control the price point. They control the delivery of services, and yet it's never enough. How much money do you need for an EKG? You just described, you know, paying a lot of money for an EKG in a hospital on a doctor visit, and that should have been $10 for an EKG. How much does the paper cost?
Yeah.
They own the machine. It takes, what, 10 minutes to do, and it costs you how much? That's completely overvalued. And the government and all the changes that have happened have done nothing to change that system. It's done it a bang-up job on the private market side, where it was only maybe $40 for the EKG anyway. They're telling us that we're charging too much and we won't be paid at all for the EKG. But they're paying the hospital thousands of dollars for something that they already own. It's, I mean, they should have economy of scale. If you really thought about this from a free market perspective, it should cost you more money to see a private doctor because we don't get to use our volume to purchase things. You know, we're not getting volume discounts. We don't have our own physical plant. We don't have huge facilities that we put, but we own. You know, we don't have any of that stuff, but it's costing you less to see an independent doctor than it is to see a hospital-based doctor because they don't, first of all, they don't do things necessarily in an economic manner. You know, they do how they want to do it, just charge as much money as they possibly can charge and pass the buck to you. There's no incentive for them to keep it cheap. I have incentive if I want to stay open. I have to be competitive with my colleagues in order to stay open. Hospitals don't have that. And as long as they have that mindset, healthcare costs will never come down. And the insurance market, I think we've talked about it before.
It's in their interest
to have somebody cost more money or charge more, a hospital would charge more money for a procedure because they can come back to the recipient of the health insurance plan and say, we saved you this much money by joining our plan. But it's not real. It's all artificially and it's all about marketing and about perception. Well, they have the mindset or they have the benefit of having the marketing brainwash people into the perception that they're giving you value. And that you're getting, if you don't go there, you won't get excellent care. The truth is, if you end up in their system, you're more likely to pay for more than you're getting, and the care is suspect. You're not going to get a doctor who's going to spend time with you. You're not going to get a doctor who's well-trained and knows the insides and outs of how to make something cost-effective and state-of-the-art and is going to be user-friendly. You don't get that in a system. People need to really be educated again to know it's not what you say. It's what is real. And that's what the show is trying to tell people. And I think we need to take a break. So on that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I just want to reiterate that you have to, like, peek under the hood here and stop being driven by emotion and what you're told you're supposed to think and what someone's putting a value on something that you need to just go along with, and start really doing your own due diligence. Start comparing, especially if you don't have a medical problem. You need to prepare yourself in case you do get sick. And that means you need to have a relationship with a physician who is independent. Again, what that really means is somebody who runs their own practice, or a group who's running their own practice, who is not on the payroll of a hospital system or any hospital. You can be on staff at a hospital, have privileges. That's not the same thing. It's if they're taking money or their practice has been purchased by a hospital. And maybe you might have to ask them if doctors are not saying necessarily. It's, again, you don't do anything else without asking questions, I hope. Why is this any different? We're talking about your financial stability, your life in some instances, and your choices. And it's all about self-empowerment, about loving yourself and deciding that you get to decide what choices you make, not somebody else. Nobody's going to have your best interest at heart except you, honestly. And if you're coming with that mentality or attitude, you will naturally end up, for no other reason, because you're going to seek them out, a physician who's going to work with you as a partner and who actually values you, not as a disease, but as an individual. And our job as doctors is to get you out of the system. I don't want to treat the patient for the same problem over and over again. I don't find that fun, interesting. That's not what I'm here to do. It's about to get you better and to give you the tools so you can stay better, so you see me for something else years from now. You know, I see patients I've seen 10 years ago who are coming back to the practice. It's been 10 years. Maybe it's another problem. They've done what I've asked them to do, and they've been healthy. That makes you feel really good. And there are doctors who believe the same thing. You have to empower them by finding them. And it's all about choice here. If we've built it. This whole system of free market is there. We talked with Mr. Englund about medical tourism. There's whole services, that are out there to help you navigate the system, help you pay your bills, help you find cost-effective methods, independent doctors who have the practices where it's direct primary care. So you're paying a flat fee monthly, and you're not paying for $100 for an EKG. It's free because it's part of your monthly payment. American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, list of doctors all over the country, AID, Association of Independent Doctors. You don't have to look far. You can go online and do your own search. Every state in this country has a doctor who believes that the way I'm just poking about. And if you start seeing these doctors and you stop giving money in your blood, sweat, and tears to a system that could care less about you, they start making changes because they start losing money. Right now, they believe that they have the upper hand. The insurance market is driving you to them. The government is making you purchase insurance so that you have no choice but to use the system. They're getting rid of competition, so by default, there's less choice out there, so you have to come into this big funnel. But there's still a thriving free market system that's growing. We've had people on our show listen to other podcasts. Surgery Center of Oklahoma, they've had other surgery centers across the country copy their plan. Being able to walk into a doctor's office and say, I'm going to pay you cash. What can I get for it? What's the best deal you can make me? You don't need any help to do that. It's just you opening your mouth and doing it. And the coming weeks, we're going to talk about healthy things you can do for yourself so you can start making conscious decisions about what's best to put in your mouth. I mean, we're going to talk about salt. That's something that people put on things or it's put on for you. That's a huge deal. If you pick sea salt, for example, there's no minerals in it. There's no iodine in it. It's better than table salt, at least. But you should start picking things like Himalayan salt, where the minerals are actually still in there. And iodine, you should add that as a supplement, because it's been stripped from our diet. The salt had iodine removed years ago, and they're putting bromine in that, which is a fake halogen. Not to get too technical, but you need iodine for your thyroid, for example. If that's not in your diet, your thyroid's going to suffer. We're seeing thyroid disease out of control, underactive thyroids. We're seeing goiter, an enlarged thyroid, because it's working so hard. And the thyroid's imperative to your metabolism. All these dominoes in the healthcare side that's been falling, people are getting older, they're getting sicker. I should say older physiologically at a younger age. You're getting sicker. They're on more medicines, but they're not better. There's fluoride in the medicines. You know, it's part of the base besides the water. That also attacks your thyroid. It's toxic. I mean, a lot of things that people are doing, they're helping the system take them out. If you decide you're not going to do that, then you've just taken a stand to eradicate the system that's designed to work against you. It's designed to put you in it and not let you out. But if you make decisions for you and your family, and they're not hard, and they're not necessarily expensive, but they do take intention, you have to love yourself. And you have to decide, I'm not going to sit on a couch. I'm not going to just, play video games all day. I'm not going to eat artificial food all day. Those are decisions that you're going to have to make for yourself. As I said, Dave, in the break, a majority of our country, a majority of people in this world are going to succumb to a system because they're too afraid or too lazy or they like it. And you can't help everybody. But for those who get it and those who want to take control, there's options out there. And it's a better system out of the system. But you get to control, and I think if more people did that, the system would actually wither on the vine.
We can only hope so. And it's the more that come into this way of thinking and start doing it, take action, then we'll see the slow turnaround, but it will be a turnaround. And I think I would love to go back to the medical system that we had when I was growing up, and maybe someday we will have that again.
Well, we have it. You just have to find the doctors who do it. They're doing it every day. They're not taking insurance. They're taking fee-for-service. They actually are not part of the hospital systems at all. They run their own show, and they know other doctors like themselves, and they refer within that system or within that, if I'm in a system, it's freedom. You know, that's what people need to figure out or find. Listen to our show. It's a resource. Go to my website, Dr. Elena George. It's a resource. Read my book, Medicine on Call. I'm sorry, Big Medicine. That's a resource. You don't have to be a victim. And, you know, ultimately, I can only tell you, it's on you to decide you want to do it. I certainly have. I'm not afraid of the healthcare system. I know how to stay out of it. And I know if I have to enter it, I'm going to win the game because I set myself up to play it properly.
And as we go on, you're going to be telling people more and more how they can do it. And we should
knowledge
have
is power.
By the way, just in passing, we should have some fresh tomatoes by the time you come out. Maybe next week, in fact.
Excellent.
Garden grown. So
start your garden. That's a great first step.
Oh yeah.
With heirloom seeds.
You know the taste. Garden vegetables have a taste, whereas store-bought vegetables, even the organic ones that they pass off in some of the big box stores, they're not the same. But we're going to have them here for our hosts anyway.
Well, thank you. I look forward to it.
Dr. George, as always, this has been a dynamite show. And, you know, I want to personally just thank you for what you're doing. You've taken this on as a cause, and you've been doing it for a number of years now, and people have to listen, and they have to take action.
Oh, if they want to survive the system, they actually do. But, you know, it's all about choice. If you know there's one and you decide to make it, this is the show for you.
That's it. Thank you, Dr. George. We'll be back with Medicine on Call next week. Stay tuned for Cool Projects coming up next.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.